It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking today about how access to reproductive health care and gender-affirming care might change under four more years of the Trump administration. We're also hearing what advocates, providers, and officials are doing to get ready. For the next part of our program, we're focusing on reproductive health care and abortion. Illinois has become what supporters call a haven for that in the years since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe against Wade, and as many states restrict or effectively ban abortion. And there are indications some Republicans would like to try making that care more difficult at a national level. Here to talk about that now is Kelsey Mosley Morris, who's reproductive rights reporter at States Newsroom, a nonprofit news network with an emphasis on state policy. Kelsey, welcome to the 21st Show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Also with us is Andrea Gallegos, who's executive administrator for Alamo Women's Clinic, which opened its abortion clinic in Carbondale in fall 2022. Andrea, welcome to you as well.
Thanks so much for having me.
Listeners, you can join us today by calling 800-222-9455. What do you want to know about the present and future of access to reproductive health care in Illinois? Again, 800-222-9455. All right, Andrea, post-election, what are you hearing from the people who come to Carbondale, often from out of state, to get services at the clinic?
Yeah, so, you know, there is right now a tremendous amount of fear, even before the election. We have to remember the majority of our patients are traveling already from a banned state, so they're worried about repercussions from the state that they traveled from. And so this sort of fear has been something that we have to talk about with patients since we opened in Carbondale.
How do you cut through that fear as you're trying to get information to people?
So I think the biggest thing we can do is reassuring them that they are in a safe place in Illinois, that, you know, they're doing this in a state that recognizes that this is healthcare. We give them, you know, talking points of how to effectively, if they end up having a medical emergency or ending up in a hospital, what kind of safety words that they can use, you know, to protect themselves and protect the fact that they traveled out of state.
Kelsey, President-elect Trump said a lot of things about abortion during the campaign. Among those comments, what jumps most out at you?
Well, the thing is, he said a lot of contradictory things. And so it was a little bit difficult to follow for people who were following along from the start. He was critical at times of some of the state bans, that like Florida's 6-week ban, but then at the same time, he said it should be left to the states. And so the federal government shouldn't be involved. And so there was some contradictory elements to that, but they have discussed a federal abortion ban. There is Project 2025 that is kind of the blueprint for Trump's administration, as some see it. And they have discussed more data collection, more bans on abortion pills, that type of thing. So I think a federal abortion ban is unlikely, especially given the slim margin that the Republicans have in the Senate, but and the House, actually. But they may try for the Comstock Act, which is about regulating abortion pills through the mail or something along those lines. But what we're more likely to see is efforts to chip away at access at the state level, I think, from what we're seeing so far.
Are there lessons to learn from how the first Trump administration played out, or does the, you know, the change that came from the Dobbs Supreme Court decision really make that, you know, put that out the window?
I think we're in a very different landscape from the first Trump administration, and it's kind of a different world that we're looking at now. But I think the thing to remember is that it's kind of unpredictable with a Trump administration, and maybe don't assume that anything can't happen. I think that would probably be the biggest lesson to learn. But, you know, keeping an eye on state level government, I think, is maybe one of the biggest lessons to learn too. And the people who are influencing him around him, you know, with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. coming in potentially as Health and Human Services Secretary, that could be a big factor as well. So All
Yeah, well,
bets
some
are off at this
conservatives are
point.
opposing because he's been too pro-abortion rights in the past, I guess.
Yeah, there
What?
was some
Yeah.
backlash there first. That came from some pretty staunchly anti-abortion circles. But what I've actually seen in recent weeks is that they are kind of more optimistic about him because he is anti-pharmaceuticals and he's had kind of an adversarial position on those. And so they see that as a potential window into regulating abortion pills. And that has been a big focus of theirs with the FDA trying to withdraw approval for the abortion bill
Yeah,
or abortion pill.
and so that so we've been talking about abortion. What about birth control, in vitro fertilization? We saw IVF services briefly stopped in Alabama last year. There's been talk of restrictions in other states. We've heard about people stockpiling birth control because they're worried about access to contraception being limited. What do you see as the range of possible restrictions on those areas at a national level?
I think IVF has become kind of a political sticking point, and so I'm not sure if you'll see bills that are specifically targeted at that unless they're trying to protect it. But what we may see is attempts to enshrine fetal personhood, which is, these bills that talk about life beginning at conception or equal rights bills for, somebody having equal rights from fertilization. And those things effectively can make IVF impossible to do. So those are the big threats I would say that people should be on the lookout for. And even here in Idaho, there is talk of a bill to create a tax status for unborn children. And so those are also attempts to restrict IVF or even ban it. And as far as birth control, I haven't seen as much in that regard, but there's definitely talk of banning IUDs, things like that. And so I'd say be vigilant on those as well.
All right, let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're talking about the future of access to abortion and other reproductive health care in Illinois and beyond. This is part of our series on 4 more years of the Trump administration. We're talking with Kelsey Mosley Morris, who's reproductive rights reporter at States Newsroom, and Andrea Gallegos, who's executive administrator for Alamo Women's Clinic, which has a location in Carbondale. 800-222-9455. If you want to join us, we got a text message from Aaron in Springfield who said, "Until men have to be equally regulated for their reproductive health care needs, the government should get completely out of what individuals and families do for their reproductive health, unless it is to make sure a child can have a healthy existence in a full lifetime. If the government can do that, then the government can help citizens live a full and healthy life without going broke to have basic human health." Thank you for that message, Aaron. And that's Aaron, male named Aaron. Andrea, can you break down for us what share of your cases are in-state versus out-of-state?
Sure. So, one of the reasons why we decided to open a location in Carbondale, Illinois, is because of the location proximity to so many banned states. We were previously operating in Texas and Oklahoma prior to the Dobbs decision. Both of those clinics closed. So, it was really important for us to be able to move somewhere where we would be able to see patients from other banned states. So, with that being said, we see, I would say, 90% of our patients are traveling from a banned state. It is not unusual for us to have patients from 9 different states in one day. They're coming from Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, Kentucky, Missouri, Texas, Oklahoma, Florida, all of these states is where our patients are traveling from.
And can you, I know this is a controversial topic, but how many cases are like emergencies, right? Or medically necessary versus those that I know people don't like the term elective, so call it what you will.
Sure. So, we see a bit of all of that. We've seen patients who are being treated for terminal cancer and learn they're pregnant and can't continue the pregnancy or can't continue their chemotherapy safely while being pregnant. We've seen patients with extreme fetal anomalies. We've seen survivors of sexual assault. Abortion does not discriminate. We have patients of all spectrums of reproductive age from the beginning to the end. We have patients who are already mothers. We have patients who this is first time pregnancy. So, we will see and treat everybody equally and honor their right to make this decision.
So, Andrea, what are you most concerned about as you look at a second Trump administration and a Republican Congress? What could they do that could affect your ability to do what you do?
Right. So, I mean, we already kind of saw, I strongly believe that Trump's first presidency and his ability to change the very makeup of our Supreme Court was the reason why, I relocated and opened a clinic, closed a clinic and opened a clinic from Texas to Illinois. So it would be silly of me to not feel some sort of doom and prepare for worst case scenario. So of course, worst case scenario is a national ban, and I agree that would be difficult to do, but there are many ways that access can be made more difficult. And the folks that really try to do that have been doing those things in states like Texas and Oklahoma, where we previously practiced, even with the protections of Roe. It was not easy to operate a clinic in Texas. It was not easy to be a patient. We have to prepare for worst case scenario while remaining what I like to call cautiously optimistic that with the state of Illinois recognizing this as healthcare and respecting the freedom of bodily autonomy, that we'll be able to continue to provide to patients coming to Carbondale.
Kelsey, can you contrast those restrictions with what states like Illinois and others either already have or are looking at doing in terms of putting laws in place to make sure those medical procedures can continue? Which form are those laws taking?
So I actually just wrote a story yesterday about Washington piloting a program to allow pharmacists to prescribe abortion pills via telehealth. And that's a model that they're hoping other states will start to adopt. Washington actually has pretty progressive pharmacy prescription laws that allow for a lot of flexibility, but a lot of states don't. So that would take some other work from those states first. But that's their attempt at expanding access. And they're only requiring people to have like a Washington address that they can mail it to. So that potentially the subtext there is that potentially somebody could have it mailed to a Washington address from a state that they don't have access and still be able to get it. So that's one way that they're trying to save or reach people in rural areas in Washington, as well as potentially as expand access elsewhere. They also have shield laws in a lot of these states that are helping to protect providers from out-of-state investigations, which have already been threatened by Texas and a couple other states. And they're also including abortion as part of emergency care definitions in their laws. I know California is attempting to do that. And that is stemming from the fact that, places like Idaho have a current pending case in federal court over whether ER physicians can be prosecuted for providing abortion care in emergencies. So, there's a lot of those efforts underway, and I know that there's more coming in places like Michigan. They're talking about maternal health care protections and adding more into their laws for people to feel more protected in that regard.
Andrea, Illinois already has some of these things in place. Abortion is legally a fundamental right here. The protection law was passed within the last year or two. There's more work, as we heard earlier this hour, that people are trying to do on like data protection. But what difference do Illinois' laws make from your perspective?
Oh, it's a complete contrast to how we operated in Texas and Oklahoma, with both of those states being highly restrictive, even with the protections of Roe, with mandatory waiting periods, with physicians having to be the ones doing the ultrasound for 2 day visits versus 1 day visits, just to have all abortions done in surgery centers. I mean, there was just so many unnecessary hoops that we were required to jump through to continue to provide care in those states. And it's, you know, one thing we kind of, you know, almost joked about coming here was, you know, it's how refreshing it is to be able to just provide care without having to, you know, call an attorney quickly to make sure we aren't breaking a law. So just several differences. We're a healthcare clinic, and that is something that you know, I think is taken for granted in states that you know, do not recognize abortion as healthcare or didn't before.
Andrea Gallegos is executive administrator for Alamo Women's Clinic. Yes, that's a Texas name, but it has a location in Carbondale. Now, Kelsey Mosley Morris is reproductive rights reporter at State's Newsroom. Andrea, Kelsey, thank you for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up after the break, we're going to be turning to gender care. And we have three guests lined up for that, a reporter, a physician who practices in this area, and the director of gender care at Planned Parenthood of Illinois. If you have a question or a comment, if you want to join us today, 800-222-9455 is the number to call. I want to mention before we go to the break, you can also now find the 21st Show on YouTube. You can search for us by going to the Illinois Public Media page. Again, just search for Illinois Public Media, and you can watch. We don't actually have video up yet, but you can listen to the 21st Show on YouTube, or you can find us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, etc. More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.